Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
All right, negawatts, virtual water, stringent laws on recycling in the future, all some of the things that Richard Watson, our futurist, is suggesting could be over the horizon. It's time for the Future Files with Richard. Welcome.
Thank you very much indeed.
This topic's high on the radar right now with the talk about climate change. We thought we really should, you know, cover what you think might well be on the horizon in terms of energy and raw materials and things like that. So let's explore some of these things that that you're saying could be around the corner. Now, negawatts, and I need to spell it. It's not with an M for Mary, but an N for Nelly. Negawatt. What is a negawatt?
N as in not using something. This is really just energy efficiency or just plain switching things off, so very sort of earth hour, etc.
Yeah.
One of the things that's quite bizarre around the whole environment climate change thing is that everyone's kind of searching for this sort of silver bullet, this magic new technology that's going to transform our lives. And nobody's really looking in any great detail at probably the most easy thing we can do, which is just simply switch things off. I mean, insulating roofs is probably not a good example in the current situation, but all of that kind of stuff, using a bit less water. Energy efficiency just doesn't come into the picture. It's probably the easiest thing to do. It doesn't really cost very much money at all. Yet everyone's sort of looking for these sort of amazing technologies that are going to transform our lives. And this is, a negawatt is not my term. It's a term that somebody else has come up with. And I think it's a really interesting area. And a lot of people are saying, you know, we just need to revisit this and actually look at, you know, this in a proper context. You know, why are we not doing more about this?
Yeah, so how would you measure negawatts? I mean, it would be the measure of power you're not using.
I guess, I mean, one of the things we're beginning to see, not so much here, but certainly in the US, Scandinavia and so on, is domestic energy dashboarding. Now, if you have a giant office block, there will be a dashboard somewhere which will tell you in real time how much power you're using, what, you know, where it's being used. And what we're beginning to see emerge now are essentially small panels that you can have on an individual house or even a unit that tell you in real time how much power is being used and even potentially what appliance is using electricity. Now, once you've got that information, you can start playing around with your home to try and make it more energy efficient. So that is a really good way of actually trying to make everything more efficient.
Fascinating. I'd be interested to see those kinds of panels popping up in the average household in the future. 1-300-40-2020 if you were like the idea of negawatts. Nuclear power, where do you think that is going to go in the future? We've recently had US President Obama say that they're going to go into nuclear power. Where do you think the rest of the world will go? Where do you think Australia will go?
Well, I find nuclear is just so extraordinary how it was just so off the agenda, you know, 10, 20 years ago, and now it's come storming back. It's just extraordinary how we can change our minds about things. I think nuclear is undoubtedly a feature of the future. I mean, first of all, just to put this in some sort of context, in 20 or 30 years' time, we are not running Australia or the global economy on wind or solar or wave power or something like that. 70-80% of our energy requirements, I think, are still going to be oil, coal, gas, and a bit of nuclear. Now, the issue with nuclear is you can't just build nuclear power plants. They take quite a long time, but I think they are, to some extent, going to be a feature of the future. I mean, I think there's some really interesting things around solar technology, and it's an absolute outrage we're not doing more with solar in Australia, and nano solar is particularly interesting, and it's developing so fast it's extraordinary. But nuclear, I think governments kind of like it. There are still, I think, inherent dangers. There are sort of new types of nuclear technology coming online and so on and so forth. And I think, you know, France, from memory, I think something like 70% of France's energy requirements are nuclear. I mean, quite an extraordinary figure. So there is sort of huge potential there, but there's obviously the general safety thing, there's the sort of terrorist thoughts, there's what do you do with the byproducts and all the rest of it. So I think it's going to be quite large in the future, and some people won't like that at all, but it's still, I mean, it's still essentially going to be oil, coal, gas. It's going to be the key thing that's driving stuff.
Do you know where a geothermal might be going as well? This is your idea that there's so much heat actually underneath the earth, you know, right deep down, that we should be tapping that.
I really can't comment on that. I'm not an expert in that, but it's something I'm aware of, and it's kind of interesting, absolutely, the idea that there's all that heat down there and there's just some way of actually getting hold of it. And to some extent, the energy industry has always been around technological innovation, so I think we will see some fairly extraordinary stuff.
Mm-hmm. Futurologist Richard Watson is with us from Now and Next. We're talking about the future of energy and raw materials. Isn't it interesting? Okay, you were throwing some predictions here. By 2015, you suggest we might well have lunar dimming streetlights.
Well, this is something, again, a lot of this stuff already exists. This is something that some Japanese cities are playing around with, and this links quite nicely back into the idea of the negawatts. The idea essentially here is that if you have a full moon or a very bright moon, do you really need the same amount of street lighting as you would use on a completely black evening with no moon? Mm. So it's trying to actually get a sort of connection between the two. So if you've got a bright night sky, the street lights will actually sort of dim a bit and save some power.
Virtual water by 2020. What on earth is virtual water?
I'm tempted to say powdered water, where you just add water.
Yes, add water.
This essentially links into the thought that we should start water labelling products. And there was something I was reading in a magazine recently about how somebody thought it was absolutely outrageous that if you buy a bottle of water, it takes 3 bottles of water to make the bottle of water. And I'm obviously talking about the packaging and the transport and all the rest of it. And some things take an absolutely extraordinary amount of water. I mean, a white T-shirt takes tens of thousands of litres. A pint of milk takes a phenomenal amount of water. A burger takes a phenomenal amount if you look at it as a system in terms of the whole agriculture, transport, and all the rest of it. So my thinking around here is that in the same way that some countries are now looking at carbon labelling, so for example, supermarkets in the UK are looking at carbon labelling their products, I think one thing we might see in the future is water labelling of everything. And it could be everything from a box of cereal through to a car tire or a computer, how much water is used in the manufacture of this product. Now, if you're in Australia in a particularly water-stressed region or you're in the middle of a 10-year drought, I think people will be incredibly interested in that information.
Mm, very much so. Another one of your predictions is that by 2050 we'll have much more strict laws about recycling.
I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. I just think that's definitely going to happen. I mean, the way we run the world at the moment is not sustainable. We just cannot go on polluting and abusing resources the way we do. And I think governments will come down on this pretty hard. And I think customers will demand it from corporations. And A, there's going to be much clearer labeling about things. And B, there's going to be, as you say, much more stringent regulation around how you use materials, how you dispose of them, the recycling and so on. And at the moment, a lot of this is rather simplistic and tokenistic. But I think it'll actually improve in the future. Hopefully it will.
So we've seen a big marked improvement when it comes to recycling plastics and paper and things like that. What aren't we recycling that you think we need to be recycling now?
Well, just about everything, really. I mean, if you go to somewhere like India, they just really don't waste. I mean, this is a really generalist statement, but they kind of don't waste anything. Everything is reused until it almost sort of the life falls out of it. And, we just throw stuff away, and it's absolutely outrageous. I mean, one of the really big problems with recycling would be, used IT. I mean, computers and phones and all the rest of it. I think we need to look at that. But when resources become much rarer, I think we will start taking care of things a bit more and actually recovering some of these things. And, one of the things I talked about in the book, rather jokingly, was, in the 50 or 100 years in the future, we might be digging up rubbish tips looking for plastic bags because we could extract the oil out of them. not being terribly serious about that, but, maybe that's something we would start doing. But, we waste far too much and we just need to sort of be a bit more careful, really.
Yeah, well, always interesting to talk to you, Richard. Thanks for your time again.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, Richard Watson, futurist, author of The Future Files. Nowandnext.com is his website.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.